So, friends, today we're starting a brand new series called The Waiting Room. And it's inspired by what Jacinda Ardern had been saying to us, that change from alert level 4 to alert level 3 is like, for us, a waiting room. Nothing much is changing for us, and so we've been called to wait. It's almost as if we're sort of powerless in this time to do anything but just be obedient and wait for something that we know will happen, but we don't quite know when it's going to happen. And that same sort of thing was the same sort of emotion that was happening with these disciples. We're in now a period of waiting, and those disciples were in a period of waiting. Between Easter and Pentecost is a period of 50 days, and that's a long time before they actually really knew what was happening and what they were to do. And I suppose that sense of waiting is very familiar with us right now in our sense of being locked down for nearly 5 weeks now. So we're looking at the major events and encounters with Jesus and the behavior of the disciples in that time of waiting, in their waiting room, and seeing what we can learn in our waiting. So here in this story, the disciples are waiting in a locked room. They're waiting in a state of fear, and maybe some of us have a state of fear about some sort of unknown or known, but we don't know where it is, this disease. But they were in fear of the Jewish leaders, who were probably looking to stamp out this Jesus story and this Jesus following as quickly as they could. And the disciples were in the line of fire, so that's why they were locked away. Now, before we go to have a look at the story of Thomas, have you noticed that Jesus appears to the disciples when the doors are locked? It's as if material objects are of no object or obstruction to Jesus. Dr. Michael Lloyd, who is the principal, or was the principal, I'm sure he still is, the principal of St. John's College in Nottingham, he said of this particular encounter, it's because the nature of Jesus' resurrected body is so real, it's greater than our reality, and therefore walls and doors are no obstacle to him. He is able to transcend our reality, which is locked in space and time, and to walk into our lives no matter where we are, because God is beyond space and time. He's not limited by matter. So our fears and our doubts really are no hindrance to Jesus. Now, this period of 50 days between Easter and Pentecost are really quite significant. It's where Jesus is appearing to his disciples is not some magic trick. The key of this is that Jesus is trying to teach us a really, really important fact. And it's this: that whether we see Jesus or not, he is there among us. And that's what he was doing in those 50 days, is appearing and is disappearing. You'll note through the accounts that actually Jesus repeats some of the things that actually the disciples have been thinking and talking and saying amongst themselves. Jesus is trying to teach us that he is always with us. So, like the disciples and Thomas, we are in a state of stasis or waiting. So here's where we get to the story. What are the things that we can learn from this man of faith called Thomas? Now, many of us will call him Doubting Thomas, but actually today I want us to refer to him as this man of faith called Thomas. What can we do in our waiting room like he was doing? Because actually we need to remember that waiting in its best possible form is not a passive state. It's actually a state of activity, or can be if we choose for it to be so. So what can we do in our waiting? Well, first of all, we need to cultivate our longing for God. Thomas longed to see Jesus. To be told that he had missed out would have been really hurtful for Thomas, because he loved Jesus. And maybe he would have been angry, or maybe he would have said, look, what have I done wrong? What have I done to miss out? Is there something that I don't know? Am I not worthy? The question we need to ask ourselves, I suppose, is this. Where was Thomas when the rest of the disciples were in that room? No one knows, but it does seem rather odd that he wasn't there. It was 3 days after Jesus' death. They were confused about what the women had said, and maybe he was running errands or he just needed space. Maybe he was battling with grief. But the fact was that Thomas had missed out. And there are times when you and I will miss out on things. And what do we do with that feeling of missing out? Because it's what we do with it that really matters. Do we allow it to embitter us or to make us skeptics? Or do we press in and allow that longing to rise up within us? And my prayer for us today is that we do that. Often we misread the emphasis in this bit of reading with Jesus. As Thomas was saying, actually, just let me go back a little bit and just see if I can get up with my notes. You see, often we read the Bible as it's put in these little sections, as sort of separate sections. But when the original writer was writing it, it was all in one fluid text. So actually, what Thomas was saying in the statement, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, can only be put in context with what the disciples had said to him before. You see, the disciples in verse 20 said that Jesus had come and shown them his hands and his side. It was a proof that the same physical Jesus that had died had appeared before them and he was alive. So a better reading of what Thomas was saying, because sometimes we say, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand aside, I'm not going to believe. But actually, I think a better reading of this would have been maybe this. Unless I see the nail marks like you did, and unless I see his side like you did, and actually I really want to see it, so I want to put my hands in his side, I'm going to find it really hard to believe, because you believe because of what you've seen, and I can't see that. I haven't seen it at the moment. It's not enough for me just to go on what others have said. Thomas wanted proof, but he came from a place of wanting to be convinced, of longing, and his posture was key. He was saying, let me see. He wasn't a skeptic or a doubter. He was a person who actually longed to see what the others had seen. And so therefore, there was nothing wrong with asking God to make himself known to you. Back in the day, when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was at a church and I had no major physical encounter, or I wasn't utterly convinced, but I had realized that actually God possibly could be the way for me. And I said to myself, and I said to God quietly, you've got 6 months to prove yourself. See, my desire was for it to be true, but I needed convincing within my being. It was more than just a mental assent. I needed to know that this broke into my reality. And I think this is the same as Thomas. He wanted to encounter the same things that the other disciples had. Thomas was really feeling left out rather than doubting. So first of all, we need to cultivate a longing for God. Secondly, in our waiting, position yourself for encounter. It says here in verse 26 of the scriptures, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Imagine what Thomas felt like in that week. The stories that have been told over and over again. Thomas, you wouldn't believe it. He really did do this. This longing again and again rising in his heart. But Thomas chose to stay this time in this room. You know, I would have been a bit fed up, you know, being cooped up with the disciples or cooped up with friends and loved ones. You know, it can be really hard, and we're cooped up at the moment. And, you know, I have to admit, much to my shame, that I've stormed out a couple of times in the house because I just needed my space and I'd lost my cool. But for Thomas, he chose to overcome that and stay with a hopeful heart. He positioned himself for this encounter. You know, he might have said, am I not good enough for this Jesus meeting? But Thomas was really after meeting Jesus again. He loved Jesus like a brother. And his heart was broken. And if it was true that Jesus really, truly was alive, and Jesus really did love him, surely Jesus would show himself to Thomas. You know, when I hear stories of faith and when I read the encounters in the Bible, I choose to have a different voice running in my head. I say to myself, if what's happening to these disciples was good enough for them, therefore it's good enough for me, and I want some. And so that's why I chose to go on an Alpha course. I chose to position myself where I could learn more about Jesus and encounter him in a real way. That's why I kept going to church. I wanted to encounter where God was. Friends, when we choose to place ourselves where Jesus is, I can guarantee you he will meet you. That's why we encourage everybody to come to church every week, and why I'm so encouraged that you today have chosen to log in and watch this, because I know deep in your heart you want to meet Jesus. This is the place. Any church, but this place, St. Margaret's, is a place where your faith will be built up. It's where we encounter that truth. When two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, there he is in our midst. And you choosing to watch this is a step towards Jesus, a step towards encounter. So Thomas has to wait a whole week, but he chose, as I said, to stay, to ride out his discomfort and the doubts that rise and that sense of a lack of worth. He chose to position himself where he might encounter Jesus. So, what did Thomas learn so far, and what can we learn? Well, first of all, we cultivate our longing for God. Secondly, we position ourselves to encounter God. And thirdly, we choose to take control over our unbelief. Jesus said to Thomas the very things that Thomas had said to his disciples. A week later, it says here, as his disciples were in the house again, Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Again, Jesus is proving to us and proving to Thomas that even though he could not be seen in the room, Jesus was present in the room, even in the midst of Thomas's fears and his doubts and his unbelief. You see, Thomas gets that bad press, as I said, where he's doubting. But actually, the scriptural word there is not stop doubting and believe. Actually, it is stop unbelieving, stop your unbelief and believe. Even though Jesus has appeared, it seemed that Thomas needed to be instructed to take control of his heart. And friends, I think you and I can learn very well from this, that we need to take control of our heart, which can so easily lean towards unbelieving. You see, skepticism and cynicism, I can tell you now, is an enemy of faith. because it positions our inner self in a negative state to be convinced rather than wanting to be convinced. It will pull us away from God. You see, when I chose to go on the Alpha course, I also chose to go to church every week, but then also to go on a weekend away with others to learn more about God and His Holy Spirit. I still wanted to be convinced. My heart wanted to be convinced. And I surrendered my unbelief to God and was prayed for, and I encountered the most extraordinary power that I've ever encountered in my life. It was like my whole being was filled with God. And at that point, I was convinced. And it didn't take God 6 months to prove Himself. It took Him 6 weeks to prove Himself to me. And God wants to prove Himself to you wherever you are, in your living room, in your state of wanting to believe. He wants to draw near to you. You see, I had to own my responsibility for where I was and how I positioned myself. Today, just like Thomas, Jesus is asking this of us all and of you. Will you stop your unbelieving and choose to believe? It's not a big step, but it's a really significant step because it changes our perspectives. Jesus can come in right now into your locked room, into your bubble, into your lockdown. He wants to come and convince you of His reality. He wants to show you Himself. So friends, in your waiting room, in this time of waiting, will you cultivate a longing for God? Will you position yourself actively in a place where you know God will be? And then will you take control over our fleeting heart and choose to believe? This is the Thomas of faith, not of doubt. Doubt is not a negative thing if we choose to believe Jesus. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much, Lord, for the story of Thomas, so real and so moving. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those of us here in our living rooms, wherever we are, Lord, if our hearts, Lord, are failing, if we're feeling hurt or rejected or need to be convinced, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would help us position ourselves in a way, Lord, where You can come in and show Yourself to us. And so we choose today, Lord, to believe and to stop our unbelieving. Come, Lord Jesus, and show Yourself to us, we pray.